Let us pray. God, we are grateful for a time when we can come and worship you. Lord, that you readily speak to our hearts. And so we ask that your Spirit would guide our thoughts, our minds, as we continue to worship you this morning. And Lord, that you would be glorified in all that we think and do. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. So if you can, you've got two pieces of paper this morning. One is called Showing the Trinity Through the Bible. The second one are sermon notes. And on the back side of your sermon notes are some directions for your meditations this week, which will use the Trinity printout. If you're listening online, these will be made available in PDF formats for you to download. You know, there's something about mysteries. Mysteries that draws people into the unknown. In fact, we need to note a mystery forces us to look beyond. A mystery forces us to look beyond what we might already know or assume we know about life. Like a magnet, a mystery attracts our attention. How could this be? What is this about? And there are many how or what questions about objects or items we see and experience whose answers will elude us. They will simply elude us until the day we reach heaven. And God gives us clarification or reveals an answer to us. You know, and I thought maybe God will allow that to remain a mystery even when we get to heaven. For instance, what's at the earth's core? What's at the earth's core? This has been fascinating scientists for years. And in the 40s, they thought they had an understanding of what was in the core. Of course they were wrong. Because Jules Verne told us what was at the center of the earth, right? Scientists thought that there was a lot of nickel and iron at the center of the earth because it was scarce at the surface of the earth. But in the 50s, they believed that that was an incorrect guess. And that the core was much lighter than what they thought. And today, research continues to guess what elements make up the core of the earth. And it remains a mystery to us until it will be revealed by God. This next one, if you were around when Kennedy was shot and killed, while people were poring over the footage of the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 63, a mysterious woman was spotted in the film, and she was wearing a brown overcoat and a scarf on her head, and the scarf is called a babushka. So the babushka lady, she appeared to be holding something in front of her face, like a camera, and she is seen in the footage here, and she was seen toward the end of when people were already leaving, still at the scene. The FBI publicly requested that this babushka lady come forward and give them the footage she shot, but she never showed up. She never showed up. They never discovered who she was or why she refused to give up the evidence that she had in her possession. It remains a mystery, maybe to be revealed in time by God. The Pollock twins. The Pollock twins in 57, 11-year-old Joanna and 6-year-old Jacqueline, sisters, were tragically killed in a car accident in England. A year later, their mother gave birth to twins up on the screen, Jennifer and Jillian. The younger twin, Jennifer, had birthmarks on her body in exactly the same place as one of her older sisters had. The twins then started requesting toys that they had no knowledge about, but that their sisters had had and played with earlier in their lives. The twins even asked to go to a park they had never heard about, but was a favorite of their older sisters. A well-respected psychologist at the time, Dr. Ian Stevenson, studied the case in depth and concluded it was likely the twins were reincarnations of their departed sisters. Another mystery, truly a mystery, to be revealed in time by God. You see, these mysteries cause us to think. They cause us to wonder about the unknown. Astronomers look at the heavens above us, and so much remains a mystery to us. We look to the animal kingdom and are still discovering So many things. And there are places yet on our planet that have not yet been discovered. And they remain a mystery to us. And the same remains true with God. I take my Bible and I look at the very first chapter. And I find that God begins to reveal to me, begins to reveal a picture of who God is in the very first words of the Bible. Well, let's read that read it with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What two attributes do you see about who God is, about who God reveals himself to be to us? What two attributes? The first one is God is a creator. God is a creator. And we will learn that God speaks into being all of creation. Speaks it into being. Let there be light, God says, and there is light. The second thing we note or we see is apart from God, there is the Spirit of God. Apart from God, the Creator, there is a Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the deep. It's not God, but God's Spirit, indicating a part of God is at work with God. So even in the first line of the Bible, God is already revealing to us the true nature of who God really is. That within God there is God and the Spirit of God. And if we venture down to the 26th verse, more is revealed. Read it with me. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. What do you see here? It says to make God, to make mankind in whose image?
God's.
Whose?
God's image. Our image.
What's the word there?
Our
image in our likeness. Again, God reveals an important piece of information about who God is as God continues to reveal himself to us. And so we note that within the nature of God are multiple divine beings. Multiple divine beings. God the Spirit. And is there more?
Yes.
After Adam and Eve disobeyed God in part because of their decision to be seduced by the serpent, whom we know today as Satan, God imparts to Satan a curse. And God says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life.'" Read the rest of that curse with me. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The "he," which I've bolded and underlined, is in reference to whom?
Christ.
To Christ. And you don't find that out until when? Until you read further into the book. But God says he, not me. He will crush your head. He will strike, and you will strike his heel. This "he" has come to break the curse of sin in his death on the cross. This "he" will come again according to the last book of the Bible and will literally defeat and cast Satan and his cohorts into the lake of fire. This "he" is referred to in the third chapter of the Bible. But we don't know everything about who this "he" is until we read further in. Now this "he" is not referenced as God or as the Spirit of God. And if we were to continue into the New Testament, this is what we would see. We would see words like this. "In the beginning was the Word," referring to this "he." "And the Word was with God," and the Word, what does that say?
Was God.
And we would see this "he," Jesus, saying things like, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." The Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. And the Pharisees respond to this claim that Jesus is making. Are you claiming to be God? So they understood what Jesus was claiming to be as he said, I and the Father are one. They knew what he was saying and they were ready to kill him over it. And in fact, they do. All of this still remains somewhat of a mystery to be revealed in time by God. How can God be three, yet God be one? Now on this Trinity Sunday, we could continue to look at the Bible to come and determine, to come and to know more about this true on this Trinity Sunday. We could spend more time coming to know, coming to see who God has revealed himself, coming to understand more of God. We could come to know this definition of God, that within the one true nature of God, within the one true nature of God are three distinct, divine beings that we know as the Father, the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. But I've given you some references for you to look up this week and to mark in your own Bible. See, it's important to mark it in your own Bible so that you will know for yourself, so that you will see it with your own eyes, so that you will always have it with you. Not just say, like I once said, well, I know this Trinity is true, but I couldn't show it to you. In fact, I encourage you to write it in the front of your Bible. I did it years and years ago. I put that number one up there. It says the Bible teaches that within the nature of the one true God are three eternal, distinct, divine persons, the Father, the Word, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I attached the scriptures that show that to me. And then at the end of that first one, I say, start in Isaiah. Start in Isaiah 42:8. And so I would go to Isaiah 42:8 in my Bible. There it is. And I've got it marked. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. You see, the Bible is saying that I'm God. And I alone deserve your praise. I alone deserve your glory. No idols do. So we're establishing who God is. And then if you can see it right at the end of that verse, I've got another verse, 43:10. And so I'm linking my first verse to the second verse. And I did that for the Trinity throughout my Bible so that when someone comes and asks me, how does the Bible show that there's a Trinity? I can open up my Bible and say, hey, let me show you, right? I came to this point in my life as I was questioned about my understanding of God as one and not God as three, i.e. there is no Trinity, this person believed. And I was raised knowing that God was three, yet God was one, and we confirm it each week when we affirm our faith, but I was really hard-pressed to prove it biblically. That within the one true nature of God are three distinct, three divine, three eternal beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, I hadn't become familiar with God. I hadn't become familiar with God on this matter of being three in one. I just simply believed. I had faith, but boy, don't press me for more, right? And so I find that many Christians are like that. Many Christians will say, I believe, but I'm hard pressed to tell you. Statistics show that around 75% of all people believe in God. But about only 45% of all those people, so now we're in the 36th percentile range, could understand that Jesus is the Son, that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, that there are three distinct divine beings. Wow, that changes things, doesn't it? It's not just about believing in a God. It's about knowing God, the God who loves you and wants you to know Him. And yet what do we do? It's okay, God. I believe. right? I'm good to go. I've got enough. But God asks us to know more. And God truly reveals himself in the words of the Bible. We just have to know where to look. And so now, you have a sheet showing the Trinity through the Bible. It'll give you the basics. This isn't every scripture, but it'll give you the basics. And next week, what I want you to do, or this week, what I want you to do is I want you to put it in your Bible. Turn to the first page, a blank page in your Bible, and write on it the definition of the Trinity. And then put the first scripture, Isaiah 42:8 on there. And then go to 42:8, and what do I want you to do? Somehow mark it. Somehow look at it and understand that this is a part of understanding who God is. God says in 42:8, no one gets worship, no one gets praise, no one gets my glory but me. And then you'll see throughout the rest of scripture that Jesus gets glory, Jesus gets praised. You'll see the Holy Spirit gets glory, the Holy Spirit gets praised. You'll see that God is three eternal, distinct, and divine beings. You see, intimacy with God will lead you to harmony with God. Intimacy with God will lead you to harmony with God. For at the heart of God are three beings operating in harmony, in perfect unity, perfect love, perfect obedience. Watch this with me.
Harmony. Those rare moments of complete unity. When everything works together. Everyone clicks. All the pieces fit. Selfishness is put aside. Egos and agendas fade away. And everyone is in sync. Totally committed to the team. Totally focused on making those around them better. It's efficient. Complete. Beautiful. But it rarely lasts. Selfishness rears its head. It breaks up bands. Destroys teams. Tears apart friendships. In a universe bent towards entropy and decay. Where friction and conflict are unavoidable, and self-interest rules. These moments of unity never seem to last, except in one instance of constant and infinite harmony. Love so perfect and complete, it defies description and sets the standard for how we should treat one another. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Ever three and ever one.
You see, Satan's ploy is to deceive us, to believe that we weren't meant to be one people, that we weren't meant to be one with God, to be like God, in whose image we were created. And so Satan throws this idea of being selfish out there. And we become selfish and we don't think about others. We don't love others as they are and love them into the kingdom. But we would rather just concentrate on ourselves. And, you know, what somebody else wants to do is their business. But God wants more from us. More from us as a church to be one together. To be one voice for the kingdom of God that others might know God. That others might come to love God. that others might come to be in harmony with God. Don't go home today. Don't go home today and close your Bible and just put these papers in there. Maybe it'll stay in there. I don't know about you. I have to clean out my Bible every now and then. And where do those papers go? Either in some other folder or in the trash can. And so that's why I'm asking you this week, as your set of devotions, as your meditations, that you take this and that you put it in your Bible. And your faith, I promise, your faith will grow. Because God will have revealed to you, through God's Word, more of who He is, that we might live in more harmony with God, and that we might live in more harmony with each other. Can I get an amen? So are you going to go home and do this? Can I get another amen? Ooh, the rubber has hit the road. All right, let me pray for you. God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we open your word, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord, that we might know you more, this holy and awesome God that loves us, that cares for us, that redeems us, forgives us, empowers us, that we might be more like you, that we might help others to know you. What an awesome person you are, God. And so as we continue to prepare our hearts to worship you, as we continue to prepare our hearts to receive communion, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Holy, holy, holy God, three gods in one. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,